Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm joined by April Lampert from the Shameless Sex Podcast, along with her partner, and we cover a lot, from sex toys to communication to potential threesomes. Topics include, if 2018 was the year of anal licking, what's 2019 going to be about? Why being your authentic self is the sexiest thing you can do? Working for a sex toy company and the perks that come along with it, no pun intended, and a few tips on how to have healthy communication with your partner. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, it feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. Subscribe to our podcast, which is great. We love when you subscribe. We love when you rate the podcast. It makes life so much easier for me and for you. Also, follow us on all social media. We're doing a lot of giveaways. We took a little break from the giveaways, and then we're like, you know, we've got the toys. You've got the desire. We're going to send them to you. So follow us at Sex with Emily, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all the places. Also, you guys, if you haven't heard the news, I am on Sirius XM Radio Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 Pacific, 8 to 10 East on channel Stars 109. And if you guys don't have Sirius, no problem. You can go to sexwithemily.com/SXM, get a free 30-day trial. And I got to tell you, they might not be happy that I say this, but even if you can't hear it, if you're around during those hours and you want me to answer your question, you can call 888-947-8277. I'm so excited for my guests to be here today. I have April Lampert.
Hi, Emily.
Hi.
Hi.
And I have her partner, Bobby.
Hello, Emily.
Hello.
Thank you for calling my partner and not boyfriend.
Yeah, that's kind of the way it goes now, right?
Right. People think I'm a lesbian usually when my partner Bobby, because Bobby could be a female or male name, but
gender
I'm like
neutral.
Yeah, it's
gender neutral. Exactly. And so I was like, your partner. Yeah, it is kind of a thing here in our sex industry, like my partner or not my boyfriend, girlfriend. And I never loved the term boyfriend, girlfriend anyway.
Especially when you get older.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, you can ask me to go steady?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm excited. So April, this is her second time on the show. April and her partner, Amy, not lesbian partner, although I don't know, but they're BFFs. And actually, they were on the podcast and it was such a hit. It was called The Year of Anal Licking, because after, I'm sure you're going to want to go look at it, but it was one of our top podcasts of the year. And so, and now they have a podcast called Shameless Sex.
Yes. Just you were the mother of our idea to have a podcast. After we had it, we were like, we love this, Emily. So thank you for your love and support.
It is my pleasure. It is my pleasure to support you. We need more people talking about sex. And I had so much fun being on it. So you guys can check out that episode. We were at a sex toy trade show.
Mouthful.
And so we were all toyed up and talking about it. And you can find her at Shameless Sex Podcast on Instagram or at April Lampert, L-A-M-P-E-R-T. My first question. What do you think that 2019 is going to be the year of?
Since 2017 was a year of anal licking, I think, with sex, I'm hoping to kind of cross some barriers, maybe get a little bit more open in the bedroom with my partner over here, because we've never explored across the threesome boundary. And I know I threw that out there to you by accident the other day. Remember?
Well, but what if I would have been on board? Then you like truncated it.
I know.
Would you want to have a threesome with me, or are we too close?
Do I have a say?
Bobby?
Are you guys just negotiating without me right now?
No.
I mean, you would be down, let's face it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
That feels good.
So maybe this will be the year of opening boundaries within my partnership. I have to set certain rules, though. I can't just be like anywhere, anytime. Like, I have to preset, organize, get out of my head about it, and talk with him, negotiate. But yeah, maybe this is the year of breaking sexual boundaries.
I think so. You know, I got to tell you, it's funny you say that in your personal relationship, perhaps, but also I feel like trends that I've seen over the last 14 years, that the last year, people are a lot more open and a lot more interested in how do we open up our relationship? How do we do this alternative relationship thing and make it work? So I want to talk about your relationship for a second, just so we can get some background before we delve right into it. So you guys have been together for...
So I recorded that podcast with you 2 years ago. I met him like right after that because I was single. That was like, it was the year of anal licking, getting licked by the German dude and all sorts of dudes across the world.
Is that what it was? I'm trying to remember now.
But I was an anal virgin. I finally lost my anal virginity to my partner here, Bobby. I had my anniversary on January 14th, 1 year anniversary.
Congratulations. I wish I had something for you. I might have some anal ease or something.
Oh, that'd be great.
So you were saving it.
Okay. I was, for someone special.
And how was it? The anal.
At first, it was a little intense, but now I've you know, taken a, the first time intense, but second, third, fourth time has been more pleasurable. It's really fun. It spices it up. You just have to go slower than slow.
Right.
Like it has to be finger, not just the whole Monty.
Right. Not the whole. Right. Yeah. Start with the finger and
a little prep.
Right.
And lots of lube. Like you always talk about lube.
Oh my
and
God.
And it's so important because the anal, you know, cavity isn't self lubricating, not like the vaginal canal. Right. So you have to use lube. And sometimes spit kind of doesn't work.
No, you need don't to get use lube. Saliva, like pounds of lube, more vats of lube.
Like more lube than not enough lube.
I want one of those dispensers like on my wall in my bedroom.
Like the Purell
dispenser, but just lube.
Yeah. That would I think be, that's a genius. Maybe you can invent that.
I know. Maybe I could.
Sexy lube dispenser. There.
A sexy lube dispenser. That's actually great. Okay, we'll take that note.
So okay, we met at the Caribbean at a friend's wedding. And Amy, my best friend, who I have the Shameless Sex podcast with, had actually hooked up with him a few times. And Bobby's like 14 years older than me. And she was like, you need to work through your daddy issues. You should hook up with Bobby.
Oh.
And I was like, I don't need your seconds, girl. And then I met him. I was like, well, maybe I do. And can I tell a story that is maybe embarrassing?
Go for it.
So I had seen an actual video of his dick before I even met him because he sent Amy a dick video. And
it's
I was
better
like,
than a dick pic.
It was better than a dick pic. And it was actually a beautiful
see it in action.
Yeah. Yeah.
And right. I was like, did you do that often? He's like, no, I swear I never did.
That was my first dick video.
That was my first dick vid. And I was like, wow, but it was really beautiful. He had a beautiful penis. And I was like, yeah. And after they hooked up, she got STD checked. She was clean. I was like, it's a go. It's a go.
Oh my, that is so efficient. She is your great friend.
I know she is.
So here's my question. Did Amy show you the dick pic when they were dating?
Or so they only like, hooked up. It was very casual. Okay. Like she was on a break from her person. He had been single. So I had actually never met him, but she had talked about their hookups. Like they hooked up twice. And I was like, oh, that sounds like really a lot of fun. He like drew her a bath with like essential oils and all sorts of things afterwards.
I am coming to visit you guys.
I am 14 years older than her. You know, I know.
You know how to draw a bath.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
No. So,
yeah, it was definitely laid out for me, but I didn't want to go down that road because I had never really hooked up with any of my girlfriend's like ex hookups.
Right.
So for me that was new because I was married.
Yeah.
And I was in a lot of monogamous long term relationships, so it was like a totally out of the box weird thing. And Santa Cruz is, I mean, you know, it's a small town. I mean, it's kind of one of those things that it's not. Bobby's always says like they say among the friends like it's not your girlfriend, it's your turn. Which I'm not a big fan.
What do you mean? We live in a fishbowl.
Because there's just a few. There's just not that many people. So not your girlfriend, because everyone's kind of hooking up.
Everybody's hot and takes care of themselves.
There's a lot of good-looking people. And
it's open.
Very, yeah,
a lot of like non-monogamous relationship, open relationships. A lot of just very open humans that are pretty cool.
A lot of good-looking people.
I need to come there. I'm trying to find the name of the guy I hooked up with. So,
I know.
In Santa Cruz.
You searched hat because he has your hat.
He has my hat. But now I just remembered I saved him under Wanderlust because I met him at the Wanderlust Festival.
Oh, so you found him?
So after the show, I'm going to find him. Right. I just remembered.
Yeah.
I'm double thinking here. Which
you must
is,
really like that hat.
No, I liked his cock.
Oh, there we go. That's
now we're getting
it.
Real.
He knew how to use it.
He did. He did. So Santa Cruz, yeah, everything I know about sex in Santa Cruz right now is getting me very excited because it was my one. And then you guys seem amazing. So you got together 2 years ago now?
Almost June. Yeah, we met in June 2 years ago. And it's pretty cool. I mean, he's, you know, he has three daughters.
I know. So let's talk about that. So you have three daughters. How old are they?
My oldest is 24. My middle daughter's 20 now. Jeez, 20 wow. And then 14.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay.
And it impressed amazing. Me so much how openly he was talking to sex with them. Like about like, I don't know, just like how I never ever could talk to my mom about sex. I don't know if you ever did.
No, my mom just told me to smoke a joint.
Yeah.
That was literally the only sex advice she said. I'm like, Mom, I can't have orgasm. She's like, maybe you should get high. And that was it.
Loosen up a little bit.
But I didn't take her advice till like 20 years later. I'm like, she's fucking right.
Yeah.
So yeah. Okay. So three daughters, and yeah. then you come in, and then so you were married, divorced.
Twice. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is your exes, are they around?
Yeah, totally co-parent. Everything's wonderful. We get along really well. Super healthy environment. All my daughters are amazing.
Are they obsessed with April? I'm sure it's complicated.
They have three stepmoms. She's actually the first one that was dating or in a relationship with that they were okay with. They were drawn to
her. It took some time.
And you know, I mean, yeah, there's some cattiness.
Because you can't force on them.
No. Yeah. I wasn't like me. I wanted them to like me, but yeah. I didn't. I gave them space because, I don't know. I mean, it's their dad. They're like they are obsessed with their father. All three of them, like, dad. So I knew, you know, there was a lot of female energy. I do much better with boys.
Right.
I grew up with a brother. I think you have a brother. I mean, yeah. I do. I just, like, boys I can jive with. And I said that when I first started dating him. I'm like, if you had three boys, I'd be the hit right now. Yeah. Like,
But you're the hit right now. They love you.
April is the hit, though.
I got to say, April, you're so such a likable person. You really are. From the second I met you, your energy, just everything you put out in the world, it's just so positive and open. I feel like, who wouldn't like April? I could have said, girl. I mean, I never liked my dad's wives, but eventually I did.
Sure.
But I'm just saying, that's tough. Yep.
I was a product of step-parents, too, and they were all so mean.
Yeah, well, they were mean. But we're so much more evolved now.
Totally evolved.
Like, we're saying our parents didn't talk about sex, so, you know, it's a different world.
No.
But now, so you're open, you're a great dad, and now you guys, and you live together?
We do. We live together. And and Bobby, actually, it's funny because I'm in this, you know, sex toy industry, like Hot Octopus. I am the VP of sales for Hot Octopus.
We have questions for you about that.
Totally. Yeah. And he's in the cannabis industry. He has like the legalized cultivation of Santa Cruz. It's called Santa Cruz Roots. And so we have the sex and drugs, and now we just need some rock and roll.
We need some rock and roll. Yeah. That's right.
We're in
LA. I was just saying
it's
that the other day.
Probably right in the
sex
corner.
And drugs. Yeah. I mean, that is, what do you think about marijuana for sex?
Great. I think marijuana is great in anything. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, it helps you relax and,
It can help you get out of your head. Yeah. It is all about the strain.
Because indica couch and then sativa, you kind of get like a little bit like more pumped up.
There's a time and a place, setting.
Yeah, but yeah, I think definitely. You got to monitor it and stuff. So.
And Californians are such weed snobs too. Do you ever like go out and someone offers you like a puff of something and I'm like, wait, is that sativa?
I do that.
What strain is it? I do too, because I'm like, I
don't want to fall asleep.
I don't want to be paranoid or acting weird.
The whole thing. I have to moderate it and not be like doing my show or in a meeting or like just, you know. Right. But it's great for sex.
I mean, you would love coming up.
It compliments sex for sure.
Because he just has access to some of the best weed like in the country. I mean, it's amazing. He grows boutique like
strains. What's it called? Can people go there and buy it?
We have a cultivation license first, so we grow a high-end luxury flower, and then we have distribution also. So we work directly with dispensaries in northern.
There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
And Southern California.
God, it is really just insane. It's like the Wild West right now.
It is. West Hollywood just got like all their stuff. You can actually, it's going to be like called the New Amsterdam. Yep. We're in West Hollywood right now. We're recording. So you can actually have on-site consumption.
That's what I heard. There's going to be all, did you know this, Jane? Yeah. There's going to be all these cafes. Yeah.
So it's going to be like the New Amsterdam. There's going to be a huge push. Like
I'm
I think that's moving. And sex and cannabis does, I think, make a lot of sense. I tend to get in my head, which I know you've talked about on your show because I've listened to your show a lot. Getting in your head with sex is like the worst thing you can do. Like, when am I going to orgasm? Am I going to orgasm?
And your partner picks up on that too, right?
Oh, yeah. Right. But when I was just on your podcast, Shameless Sex, you were talking about a few things like, well, I'm in my head. Yeah. And it is something that, again, just because we're experts, it doesn't mean that it makes it, mindfulness is not something you ever master. Like, even the Buddha is still like, he's not around anymore.
Maybe God, he might be in all of us. Right now. Yeah.
But even like the experts, it's still a practice. So every time, so how have you best learned to kind of deal with that during sex? To get out of your head.
I practice breathing into my yoni. This sounds so wooey, like hippie wooey shit, but I just like close my eyes, don't open them, because then I'll just like look at his expression or what we're doing and breathe into like my yoni space. Like I'm like, you know, kind of that deep, not the quick breathing, but like the slow breath. Because sometimes breath just can like not trigger the flight or fight. It kind of triggers you to kind of ease into things. And that really helps. And if I try to communicate, if something doesn't feel good, you could, you know, use different techniques. If you're not into actually speaking, you can use a tap method.
Right.
But I'm totally in my head. And my partner, he feels that. He's like, dude, like, what's happening? Is everything good? I'm like, yeah. Let me just like check myself. Wow. But weed does kind of help. Sometimes
it can help for a lot of people. Yeah, absolutely. It can help. Yeah, you're right. You got to find the right strain. Yeah. And breath. You're right. We talk about that all the time too, that breath and not the, when we do the shallow breath, which most of us do the shallow breathing, that is the fight or flight. We're like, when you learn to really do that deep breath, and we can really just, it helps circulate the blood flow, can just help you just automatically.
Have you ever
really
tried just moaning, like intensely moaning, like just getting into it without even if you're not having an orgasm, just moaning it out, like where your neighbors are pissed?
Yes.
That's the best.
That's
too.
Why I don't have neighbors. That's why I live in a house now, because I was like, I'm so loud.
Oh, yes, I share a wall with a person with a daycare next door, and I'm like, you know what? I give zero fucks.
Yeah,
these little kids are screaming, and you know
screaming. You're screaming. Why can the kids scream and I can't scream? Like, I hear you. So, I'm down with that. I totally get what you're saying.
Do you do the same thing? Because you probably are a heady person like me. I'm assuming.
Oh yeah, I'm a heady. I'm always thinking. I'm always in my head, and I've really, to me, that's the biggest thing, has been able to focus on the senses in the moment. Is the breath, and then I go back to like the candles that I you know, the scent and the sound. Setting. What am I listening to? And the touch.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, that takes me out of my head. So that's what helps me. Okay. So when you guys got together in your 30s, 40s, which is so different than being married early, how did you guys come together with all the stuff that you know about sex
at
April? And then Bobby, I'm sure you couldn't evolved as a sexual being.
Yeah.
Did you guys have anything to overcome? Could you talk about your 2-year journey of your sex life, or things that we already know about the anniversary?
It's funny because the anniversary that took some time, but we would be out together and I would hear people come up to him and be like, wow, that's a lot of pressure, Bobby, to be with April. Like, I'm sure, like, well, you know, and he'd be like, what are you talking about? It's all good. And for me, I don't know. I think people automatically, and maybe you deal with this, Emily, but think you're some kind of freak where they're like, oh, she's just probably wild. I'm like, I'm probably more vanilla than 3/4 of these people. And unfortunately, but fortunately, I just, like, that's me. I like sexual slowness and sensuality. And, you know, I occasionally I like banging it out, like rabbit style too. But it was funny because our journey was really, I don't know, it was like we had this mind-blowing sex initially, and then it kind of went into like kind of like getting to know each other's sex patterns. And I get into my head a lot about not having sex enough.
Oh, okay.
And he threw out, he's like, do you use sex for love? Like, is that what you think sex is related to love? And I was like, maybe I do. So he'll check me and then I check him about things, and it's always a journey. It never is boring. And I've come to realize that, like, yes, communication is key, and that's so, I feel like that's what everybody says, but it is really trying to make space for each other, making the time to have sex, because I'm busy with my career, he's busy with his career, And then he's got kids on top of it, which, you know, it's not very sexy.
And the last thing you want to do is schedule sex.
No, but scheduling sex works, but sometimes a lot of people.
I mean, it's like, it's really good if it's organic, too. You
know? No, we want it all to be organic, too. But there are a lot of people that are just like, it's never happening. So you get to choose.
And I wanted like that ripping your clothes off sex, you know, and it's happened, but it's been like over time. So it keeps getting better, but we keep evolving, which I think, is so key.
It is communication. Communication is a lubrication.
Yeah. And then everyone always talks about the honeymoon phase of like banging it out for like the first 3 years. And I think that in our adult phases of life, that is possible, but also you have things to do. And sometimes it's not necessarily happening. So I really try to keep the passion alive by just trying to be sexy. I do my little lingerie dance. That's what helps me
feel
sexy.
Tell me about your lingerie dance.
I have a whole stripper routine.
Oh, we keep some ones in the drawer.
Yeah. No, I'm serious.
Like, really? So you, did you, tell me about this.
So I have a stripper song that I usually play. He won't know. I'm like, I'm gonna go put on my pajamas, and he'll think it's like movie time, movie night, and then I'll go put on, I've got like a lingerie drawer of different options, and I have the like sluttiest amazing stripper heels. They're like platform with like 6-inch heels, and I put those things on, kind of like get teeter down the stairs, and then I play my little it's a Juicy J like Banza Maker dance song.
And then she's got a great routine. It's great.
And then
she's got a great heel clap.
Oh, yeah. And so I like push him down and like do like a lap dance, and I'll like try to twerk my.
And it's different than a strip club because, you know, you actually get a.
You get
somewhere.
You're allowed to touch.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. That is amazing.
And it
that
really.
Is, how I did feel, you learn that? Did you take like a pole dancing class?
I've been to a lot of strip clubs.
Right. Okay. Because I took the whole Sheila Kelly. Were you a stripper? Were you a dancer?
No, but they always think that I am when I go, because I'm like, I give them praise. I'm like, you look so good, girl. Like, that's just so nice. And I'm like, you know, throw in dollar. I just like to support. Like,
no, you got to support. Well, we're like, such girls. I'm like, you look hot. You look great.
I'm like, you look beautiful. Your body's beautiful. Your dance. And I'll talk to them because, I mean, we've been in Amsterdam together, and he actually doesn't like lap dances, but I call him Santa Claus at the strip club because all the strippers go straight up to him, no matter where we are, Amsterdam to New York to San Francisco. Strippers go up to him like he's Santa, and I'm always like, Santa
like two,
Claus.
Three at a time, literally.
Yeah.
Like
what is that?
He won't even be giving him
any
money.
It's a dad thing, maybe.
Maybe
he's got daddy energy.
He does.
Did you feel that when he walked in?
Yeah, but daddy calming, sexy. It's all good. I love this relationship. You're right. I knew that I wanted to meet you guys, but I'm so happy for you.
Oh, thank you.
This just seems like a really good connection. Sometimes, just you know, in life, you never know when it's going to happen. I think there's something to be said for going through divorces and figuring
learning
your shit out,
yourself.
Knowing who you are and what you want,
right.
And then making it happen. And you guys have done a lot of work on yourselves.
And he's
still doing it.
Yeah, I mean,
I agree. You're never done.
Yeah.
Anyone who thinks they can just rest on their laurels in a relationship, they're wrong.
You
never stop talking and communicating about it. That's
totally
how it's going to happen.
You need someone, and you know Emily too, because you're in this like world of talking sex. It's hard to meet people that like support that in a full way.
Right.
People will say they do, and then they get really uncomfortable about, I don't know, putting yourself out there and knowing things. And he's been super supportive and has never said like, why did you say that on the air? Or why
Thank
did you talk
God.
About our anniversary in the way you did? And
how dare you share the analversary? That was our thing, babe. The analversary.
Well, there were some things.
Did
again,
you get her
and I
like
do have three daughters.
Did you get her like an engraved butt plug?
Not yet.
Okay.
No.
Oh, yeah. Some of his daughter's friends will text him. We should. We'll text his daughters like, oh, I listened to April's podcast and I learned some things about your dad that are pretty interesting.
So there's some of that where I'm like, well, maybe we could keep some of this,
I'm like,
you know, but I am, you know, relatively anonymous.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's complicated, though. No, I get it. And when you ask me, it is kind of interesting to be dating.
Sure.
And there are so many assumptions that when guys meet me, they're like, oh, sex with Emily. She must be a prostitute.
You have
she
the
must be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I have to say, I know a few things about a few things.
Yeah.
But I'm not probably what everyone would assume. And then you're wondering, are people want to date just because they assume that you are that girl or just, you know. So it's a whole nother host of things. But then once you, that shit doesn't really matter. Because if you meet someone, you knew that he wasn't just like April. Like you can tell those guys too.
No.
I'm not even going to have a coffee with those guys because I know who they are.
Right.
You can pick out the evolved ones.
He told me though, he said like, when I met him, he's like, yeah, you're totally an 8. And I was like, sprechen Sie Deutsch? Are you serious? I was like, that is so rude.
If I told her she was a 10 and came on hard, I wouldn't be sitting here. Right
yeah.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't write any dating.
It wasn't trying to be disrespectful. It was like all by design.
Right. No, I get it. No, right. Yeah. So you kind of do the negging. Were you a player in your youth?
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. I grew up very sexual as a from a young age.
I read your high school yearbook and it said like most likely to like
I was the flirt
with, yeah, was the flirt and date like a supermodel, like I don't know, it was like Christy.
Yeah, I don't know. I always liked older women growing up. I liked older women when I was growing up. I liked younger women when I was older.
Yeah.
Again, I have two divorces, so I mean I'm that person.
Yeah, okay.
I have an open mind to a lot of different things and yeah, so it was
Good to date the guy who's a former player like in your later years. Because you're not, it's exhausting. And you got three kids. Like, you just kind of give it up.
And her April, you know, and definitely, you know, when we met each other, we were not.
Christy like, Brinkley's got nothing on you.
Absolutely.
Oh,
not.
Emily, love
so,
you.
So, yeah, I mean, when we were met each other in the Caribbean, we weren't looking. She was totally fine. She was the year of anal licking.
Right.
I had a decent rotation going. I felt pretty good about myself. And it just happened. I mean, we definitely connected, and maybe it was the place we were in, being in the Caribbean.
P.S., like, your best friend and his girlfriend went down to me then.
Yeah, so I got, we were actually
you
like...
You had a threesome?
Oh,
well, no,
man,
not really. It was like this whole thing.
Can we tell the story?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So
how could you not tell that story?
So basically, you know, we were there for a wedding. So we had a group of 15 to 20 people that were all sharing this like amazing compound in the Caribbean on St. John. So, you know, I had met April and it was like the first, actually, I think it was like the first night we were really
And I was
really
like, I'm
there.
Not having sex with you.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, you are. No. but wait, so what happened was we had another.
But quick question just for some continuity. You already knew, you'd already seen his dick video at this point.
I saw
like
his
you
dick
knew,
bit.
And Amy was already encouraging you at this point.
Yes.
Like, okay.
Got We'd seen each other around.
Got
there was definitely, you know, we knew who each other were. And so we had another couple that was there with us, and each one of the little bungalows had like a shared another room that was connected to it. And there were some close friends of my business partner, actually, and a lady that he's been, you know, on and off again for a while. And they had the room next door to us. And so my business partner knew that I, you know, thought she was attractive and it was all good. And so basically they had set the table and were in a situation with her where they were had already, you know, like she was basically naked on their bed. And then he took a time out and I was hanging out with some other people and he's like, right now's the time. You need to come with me. And I was like, I didn't even question anything. I just like went with him. And then when I walked in the room, like I think his partner
was going down
on me.
Yeah, and I was like, I don't like any of this, what's happening. You're not doing it right.
It was
like,
she was very direct.
So I was trying to give her like some pointers.
And then, you know, it was like my partner, he tried because, you know, obviously his friend was not satisfactory. Yeah,
right.
And we were all like, you know, so we all got a shot, you know, to try and she was just this pillow princess, was just kind of
like,
oh,
all
right.
Which is standard. That's the thing about threesomes that I think might be challenging is because I like to be the... And I've been communicative with that, and I would be communicative with the, and want to be the center of the attention.
Yeah,
I told
we all
them
do, right?
Yeah. So maybe it'd have to be like a trade-off situation, like in the negotiation of the threesome.
As a man, though, I know like it's best if you just sit back and let it happen and not try and coordinate or direct, or you just kind of go with the energy of what's
Is that
going
your,
on.
Yeah, I would love some threesome tips for the listeners, because I think it's obviously the top question, top fantasy. And I feel like you both have experiences. I think that is true, that it's more about guys are like, how do I get this email all the time. How do I get my girlfriend to have a threesome? I'm like, that doesn't,
you let your
you're
girlfriend
not gonna...
initiate it, and you let her pick who the partner is so she's comfortable with it. And you definitely don't try and force or direct or like, let it be organic. Let them find their connection. And I mean, we're cavemen relatively. So in most cases, and you go with the flow and then you find your place within that. So
do you have any good threesome tips though? Like anything, like your best, I know negotiate boundaries. I always talk about you got to negotiate things ahead of time, but is there anything you could give some more details to that? Maybe
I would probably like from a personal, I can speak from a personal perspective. I would go with someone that you don't really know well at all, that you're not going to probably see again. So maybe if you have, I don't know, I know there's tons of apps now that you can find people.
Yeah, like Field. And
yeah. So you could go to a different city and do that and then kind of have like a random hookup. And then you could figure out from each experience what went well, like have like, you know, a processing session after each time. But I don't know. I think that my goal in a threesome is always to definitely feel pleasure and to provide pleasure, but it's like fun and it spices things up. So maybe bust out some toys, because toys are something different that you a lot of times can use with partners, but then obviously you want to clean them afterward. Especially
always clean them.
Yes. But I think like that would make it really fun too. And I don't know, don't drink so much where you're not going to remember.
Right, that's sloppy. A bummer to black out during a threesome. Yeah. You're like, I heard it was hot. I was there. I missed the whole goddamn thing. Right.
But I do think that it's important, especially from a hetero perspective. If you're in a hetero relationship, a lot of times, especially since you say a lot of men are reaching out to you to see how they can get their girls to have threesomes, girlfriends to have threesomes. Yeah, have the female part of the relationship kind of figure it out, what they want, the person, choose the person, and set some of the boundaries, because the guy's, you know, gonna participate accordingly.
He's and gonna be down.
Yeah. Right.
Have you been with two men in a threesome?
No.
No. Would you want to?
I threw that out there to him when he was throwing out the threesome thing. I was like, well, would you hook up with me and two and you and another guy? And he was like, no, absolutely not.
It would depend on the guy.
It's such a bummer.
It would depend on the guy.
Oh, okay.
Like, let me retract if he
did. So would you like want to do DP, like one's in the pink, one's in the stink?
I mean, if it presented itself, I'm not going to say
really?
No.
Really? Which one would you choose?
I mean,
just depends.
How would you? You took her anality. What is it called?
My anal virginity.
You took her anal virginity. Are you ready for another penetrative source into her?
You know,
anus?
Again, for me as a guy,
you're the only one right now.
Right. I mean, for me as a guy, I wouldn't want some random. You know,
I would want
a buddy that I know and trust. In that, I'm kind of more of an alpha type of a person. Yeah. So. Uh-huh. Either I'm going to feel comfortable with you or you're not. And that may or may not set the tone for the rest of the session.
If you're giving him the stink eye, he might be scared.
Well, I mean, and so I think I'd rather do it with more of a friend, okay. You know, so maybe that's the difference between you doing it with
you've had threesomes with one of your friends before.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I've had threesomes with several of my friends before.
Yeah. Oh, several dudes.
Yeah.
Guy
yeah.
friends.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you would be down. If it was the right guy.
If it was the right guy. But those, I was not in a relationship with those women when I was doing that.
Right. My best threesomes were when none of us were attached.
For sure.
It was just grant. It kind of just happened. It evolved.
High five. See you later.
Exactly.
Yeah, right? That was the best thing.
And one thing though, if part of the negotiation, if someone's emailing you about threesomes and their partner is a hard no, it might be time to either, if they're a hard no and that's something that's very important to this listener that's writing in, like they want this and their partner continues to say no matter what they're trying to figure out together, it might be time to either find a new partner or open up the relationship in a different way.
Yeah.
Because that is like, if it's that important to you and your partner is not seeing you or meeting you in the middle, it might be time to think outside the box.
It's true. It is true, because that could be a deal breaker.
Right.
Like people are together and you really want to open up and your partner doesn't. You're not going to get your girlfriend or get your partner if they don't really feel it and they don't want to. They'll end up like, you know.
And then you end up cheating and then it ends up out of integrity and then it just is like a big shitstorm.
When you could have just used good communication.
Right.
Exactly. Thank you.
Like we said earlier, you can't win if you don't play.
You got to communicate.
And it might be a hard conversation to have. You might be scared, but those types of situations, that friction is like where growth comes from. And you might get something great out of it. Maybe a new partner.
Right.
Maybe a great threesome. Maybe something you didn't know about your partner. Maybe they have trauma and they didn't want to talk about, right?
Exactly.
Like they had a bad experience with a threesome.
Right.
You know?
Bad threesome experience.
Yeah, you never know.
Turn you off forever.
Yeah.
It's true.
Have you ever had an orgy, Bobby? I'm learning about some things.
It's great. Do it.
I mean, I've told you about that. I've been, it was me and four women.
Oh, did you tell me?
I think so.
Nice.
I thought I did.
See, he's pretty sexually charged up.
I know. Four women. That's a lot.
That's a lot of women.
That was actually.
Wow. That's a lot of things.
But it was fun because they were all, you know, with each other too. And I think, again, they felt comfortable enough with me. And so it was, you know, and there was no awkward
energy. You were busy. You were like every.
I did. I had hands going. I had,
I'm
you know,
exhausted,
all of it.
Just thinking about it.
Right. It was a lot. But it was, you know.
Yeah. Do you want to do it again?
Right people. With the right people, I definitely would. But again, no, I wasn't, you know, I wasn't in a real...
Right, that's the best.
I was in more of an open relationship at that point.
Were your marriages open?
My marriages were definitely not open.
Okay,
no,
got it. Now, you guys are thinking of opening up or just having a threesome, which is kind of could be...
Maybe just have it. We haven't like sat down and really talked about it, but we've talked about creating this solid foundation first, which we're still working on because we're only about a year and a half in. And that's the part that we're nurturing now. And then going into a negotiated threesome, not opening up the relationship.
But she just said her last podcast was non-monogamy. So it was a topic that came up.
Yeah.
And we basically, like I came in the house at the end of her and Amy's podcast and kind of got to listen to a little bit of it.
Oh, what'd you learn?
That really she hadn't considered it that much yet, and it was kind of new for her, and that she is actually kind of entertaining, being open to it.
Open to the open.
Yeah. Amy and her partner are definitely trying to figure that out.
Okay.
I think they're trying. It's a conversation. I don't know exactly.
Well, I know they've also been broken up back together.
Yeah, they've had a lot of ups and downs.
But I agree that you need to have... What I believe works the best is when you have a really solid foundation with your partner and then you open up.
Yeah, it sounds like we've been together 3 months.
Or we've been together 10 years. It's boring. Let's have a threesome. Totally. No. You don't do it that way. You do it when you're on solid, solid ground.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, let's move into toys for a minute because April is... I've met April initially probably, 8 years ago?
Yeah. Well, I was a huge fan of you. I had a crush on you. I did say this on when you were on Shameless Sex. And then I actually met you and... because you were at the trade shows and stuff, and we did some work when I was with Fun Factory with you, and then and I always thought you were just like a shiny bright star. I was like, I love her. And then I was on your show, I was like, I love her.
I know, we felt the same. We always have this connection. It was funny because at the show we did the podcast, and it was me and Amy and April in your room. Great wine. Who's your wine sponsor?
Margins wine. It was, you did. You loved it. You were like, I'm even going to have a second glass. And I never
drink two glasses. I was drunk. Yeah. It was awesome. But I was like, it was fun because, we like competitive. Competitive in a good way. Like talk. And then we saw Adam from Hot Octopus. And I saw Adam.
Yeah, my boss.
Your boss. Yeah. And he was like, I can't even imagine you and April in a room with Amy. Like, was there ever a moment of silence? I'm like, not one. But it flowed.
It flowed. I love that episode. It was fun. And we had to cut it a little short because we had to go to that cocktail party. And then I saw you and I was like, we should do another show because I'm going to be in town. And you're like, absolutely.
I said, I would love to have you on the show again.
And you know Hot Octopus products, right?
We work very closely with Hot Octopus.
Totally.
So let's talk about it for a minute because... I just love them. And I want to hear your perspective of selling this with the guy Burrator.
So the funniest story, because you know that there's this cock ring called the Adam Plus that we make, and it's like a double motored cock ring. And Bobby, he's like good with toys, but he's not like super into them. But I really wanted to test out this cock ring because
it's work.
Yeah. And I also love vibrators. And oh my God. So it's kind of tricky to put on because you have to put your balls in and then
tricky.
Stick the rest of your shaft in and then twist it around. And Bobby, and you have to be totally flaccid for the double.
Yeah. And when does that happen?
I know. You have to pre-plan.
Like, think about baseball. Think about baseball. Yeah. How do you get
You're going to walk around with this thing until you're ready to go.
Well, Bobby was like,
at the same time, great toy.
It's an amazing toy.
Amazing toy.
Once you figure out how to put it on, but he didn't know, and I hadn't actually. I don't have a penis to try it myself. So I was going by the instructions, and I'm like, you have to stick your balls in. He's like, you can't go. So we had this whole traumatic experience.
And it kind of got trapped, and I was like, I'm uncomfortable, and then that definitely can ruin your mood.
But we tried again, and then I actually learned because I asked questions on how to put it on. But it's an amazing cock ring. So if you have anybody out there that like wants
to, it's like a turbo cock ring.
Yeah.
It's not just.
It also restricts the blood flow enough where you'll last a bit longer.
Great.
And if you have like a vulva owner, as we call them, it's a perfect grinding toy while you're riding on a cock or a dildo or whatever you're riding on because it has like this nub. So that is one of my favorite products to use during play. Especially,
let's say the name of it again.
It's called the Adam Plus.
Okay. And you can get it on our site.
Or your site.
Or at our site. Yeah. We work with them.
Yeah. Perfect.
We love you guys.
So check it out. And it's actually one of our best selling products.
All the toys that Hot Octopus makes are so impressive.
I know.
Like they're such high quality.
Very high end,
And like I gave one to my guy friend, my ex, the Pulse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Pulse Duo or Solo,
the
one of them. Yeah.
The Solo. And he was just like, at first he was like, really? I'm like, here you go. Cause I'd never given him toys.
Yeah.
I'm like, just take it home, have some fun. He was like, I didn't see him for a week.
It's pretty fancy. I mean, it doesn't look like a pocket pussy, which I hate that term.
No.
It's like a luxury, gorgeous masturbator. And I actually, funny story, I use the Duo on Bobby. Like if we're like playing in fellatio, it's like a little fellatio accessory because you can stick it on the cock. It helps it get harder faster.
Right, exactly.
And then you can take it off and go into your
like
penis
a prep. It's like the fluffer.
Yeah.
It's a little fluffer.
It is.
And we have a lot of fun with it because why not just add some little like toy or two?
Like what do you say to that? Because you're in my industry, people are always like, well, how do I use a toy or why should I? Or I'm intimidated by them. And I'm like, well, it's not that you need it. You'd want it.
It's like, an enhancement.
It enhances.
It's like, why take a car? Why drive a car places when you can walk? Because you get there faster and it's a little bit more luxurious and you don't get burnt out. Your forearm isn't going to get all cramped up from like rubbing, you know, the vulva.
Carpal tunnel from it. That's real, right?
It is real. It happens to him sometimes. I'm always like, you should just get the toy out. You don't want to cramp up. You got big forearms.
Yeah.
You got to save those. So I think that toys just add an extra element to anybody's sex life. We talk about all the time the importance of products with solo pleasure, but also just to add some enhancement and joy into a like a multi partnership, or one partner, two partners, three partners, four. Give it to me more.
Maybe four, yeah. Five, six. We don't know where you guys are going.
We don't know what this year will bring.
Thanks for supporting our sponsors. Help keep the show free because they're awesome and so are you. We'll be right back. How do you guys feel about Valentine's Day? What's your feelings on it?
Every day's Valentine's Day.
Aw.
Yeah. Oh, that's yeah. so sweet. Yeah.
Any plans?
No. I really, it's a busy time for us with
sex industry. Yeah, it's the biggest time ever.
And going out on Valentine's Day, the actual evening of, is kind of lame. I'm sorry if anybody out there, if I'm offending them, it's just expensive, preset meals, and it's kind of crap, and the service is weird. So I try not to go out, but we try to make time for each other in another way. Maybe like light a fire.
Make a dinner.
I think that everybody should just think of Valentine's Day as like sex day.
Yeah.
Like do something different this year.
And have one a month.
Ask for something, something different on Valentine's Day. Don't go out, waste your money, something special, buy jewelry. Like, no, buy some like great toys or an experience.
Write your partner a really beautiful like letter or note even about how you feel about them. I'm really big on affirming, you know, through written word, because I really putting
words
it out there
of affirmation.
So much stronger. Yeah, that's my
love. That's your love language, right?
It is. Yeah,
yours are words of affirmation, physical touch.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so are yours?
Mine. Yes.
He's quality time and then physical touch.
Oh, okay. And that's what my ex was, and which is it's a good one, because when you're both physical touch, because that's hard if you're with someone who's not physical touch and you are physical touch, they're not gonna come. More challenging. They have to think, oh, now I need to touch my partner.
Yeah, you have to think about it.
You have to think.
I didn't get a lot of physical touch from my parents when I was young. They didn't like really do that with me. So it's important in my relationships. I always say that. Like, I need more.
Yeah.
Come closer.
I tell
to
them
me.
Right away. I can tell. Like, if I sleep at someone's house, like the first time something happens, there's no cuddling, touching. I'm like, and I used to sit there and feel like alone. And now I'm like, right now, I'm like, nope. Are you not a touchy feely cuddler?
I could be at home alone right now. Okay. I don't really need you. A hug and a pillow. So either come over here
I'm out. Like, there's literally no reason for us to sleep together in this room if we're not going to be touching.
Totally.
Like, not the whole time, but like a lot. Like, you need it.
Emily, are you good at initiating sex with your partners when you're with them? Or is that something you wait for them to?
Oh, good question. Yeah, I think so. I think I initiate. Yeah, okay. I do. I don't think I'm great at it. I feel like I've been with partners who typically initiate more than I do, but when they've brought up, they would like me to initiate, which has come up. I think in my last relationship it did, that I would like, okay, and then I'd put on my sexy things and I would initiate.
I struggle with initiating sex.
Yeah, it's not my natural.
Hard
like,
for
I
me.
Want to feel desired. Yeah,
me
and
too.
I want them to come after it, because I'm in, but I'm not like doing the sexy stripper dance as much
you
as
can't
I should.
Do it. You cannot do the sexy stripper dance all the time either. It loses its novelty.
Everything, like,
it
even a sexy stripper dance
you
is boring after a while. I will
yet?
Do it. I can only imagine.
I'm trying to tell you. It's pretty good.
Yeah, get your dollar bills ready. Or actually 20s, you know.
Maybe
I'll take
that's
all
another
forms.
When you
I'll
come
take
to Santa
all forms.
Cruz, you know, we can
get PayPal.
I love when he makes it rain too. I'm like, make it rain. And we'll
I'm telling you, there's 100. So there's 100 ones in the drawer, ready to go. You
and
never
some
know.
People will ask too, like, why do you have like if they getting something out of the drawer? Like, why are there a bunch of ones in there? He's like, oh, for April stripper dance, and it's like a known thing.
See, I want everyone to be as open as you guys are. Really.
I don't take off my clothes. I keep the sexy clothes on. One time
it's
I did a
so
stripper dance.
It's so hot to keep the clothes on and keep the shoes on at least.
I actually brought out tissues and I did it to Fiona Apple Criminal, and I brought out tissues because like everyone's gonna be crying right now.
Oh, man.
And then I put that through the tissues out. I did a whole like, it was pretty fun.
This is never get boring. This relationship ever.
Never. I mean, obviously, you guys are a lot of like, she's on 10 all the time. Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
No, really,
and I'm a pretty intense person myself. So everybody's like, wow, two are a lot. Some of our close friends are like, all right.
They're like, we
right. No, I get it. People have to like time out with me. They're like, Emily's great. She's a lot of energy. Are we ready for that right now?
Yeah.
You know, and I can dial it back.
I feed off of it though. I get excited.
Same.
I'm like,
yes.
That's where the cannabis comes in.
Oh, yeah.
Depends on the cannabis. Depends on the strain.
Sure.
Yeah. It does.
No, I think sometimes cannabis makes me more talking fast. Depends what kind it is.
Right.
So we
are excited.
You asked about sex toys. I will say one other thing though, which is a bummer, because my favorite is that magic wand. And you know, because you talk about it, it is actually kind of addicting. I'm kind of addicted to it.
Okay.
So I'm taking a 3-month break. I mentioned this before because
it's an impressive toy.
It is an impressive toy. He called it his nemesis. He's like, that's my nemesis. Because he's always like, should I get out the baseball bat? If like, you know, it was a long romp slash.
Well, I think if you
physical,
use it or you overuse it. You can desensitize yourself.
It's
right?
not
just like everything. If I
right?
smoke too much weed,
so,
you're not going to get
high. Moderation,
right?
So if it's your daily routine,
it's a mental addiction.
Use the magic wand, you might not get the sensation that you are looking for from a partner or another toy, for that matter.
That's
a high powered toy.
It is a high powered toy, but it's like I guess what we talked about in your show is that I learned to moderate it. I never had a problem with it.
Unlike me. Yeah.
But I do like it. And then it just got to be, I don't remember where I moved to LA from San Francisco. I couldn't find it for a while. And then I just replaced it with like the Jeju Mimi was the first one. Oh, and then the Wee Vibe Touch.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is actually works for me. And you just kind of mix it in and out. Sure. Like
we're gonna have a new finger vibe coming out, Hot Octopus. It's so good. I'll get you. It looks like a piece of jewelry. It's called the Ditto. I'm stoked. And by the time I'm off my vibrator fast or break or strike, it will be out. So we're gonna use it, and you can just wear it on your finger. It's beautiful, and then it's like a hands-free extension of your finger. I'm gonna give you one. You're gonna
finger
love
vibe
it.
Because it's the best. Like, then everything, you become a vibrator.
But all
like
of them are kind of cheesy. They're all like a little bit novelty. This one's almost,
it looks
it's
like
sexy.
Jewelry, or it's just
it looks like jewelry. It'll be like $69. So
when does it come out? Oh,
it's gonna
great,
be out
great price
in
point.
July 1st. We will have a pre-launch, so I'll give you one to try as soon as
yes,
it's ready.
Of course.
You're gonna love it. I'm excited for that because it's gonna be packed with power, kind of like the level that Magic Wand is, but not baseball, you know, size. So okay. It'll be like this like extension of your finger.
Okay. I can't wait for that. And then yeah. Adam was showing me the one that goes around the balls.
Oh, which
can we not talk about that? The Adam the
Oh the that's the jet. It goes on the frenulum, and then it has
two balls.
Yeah, it does. Right. It has two. It looks like two balls. They're like little like, sections to stick
like
the bullets
ball.
In,
like a pinball machine ball.
Yeah, kind right. of. But they're like they're custom motors. That one's like a treble, so it's like a high pitched motor.
Yes.
The other one's a bass, so it's like a lower deep frequency motor. And then in tandem, when you turn it on through this wired remote, they kind of almost oscillate around the frenulum, so you don't have to stroke. You just crank it up, and then it can help you last longer.
Yeah. Okay, so that's amazing.
There's a lot of different things, and that's called the Jet. That'll be out in March, so people can start buying that on hotoctopus.com or your website. You'll have
We'll have everything at sexwithemily.com.
Do it.
Yeah, that's amazing. Tell me about how your sex life has evolved from the time you met to where it is now. We know about the anal sex, but what about like what really gets you there? Is it oral? Like, is there something you had to show him? What? Because you were talking about earlier, like when you were in the threesome, you were like laying back. Is there something
my
about
pillow
that?
Princess?
Pillow princess. Pillow princess. To define that for our listeners,
it's actually my lesbian friend told me about this because there's like in the lesbian community, there's pillow princesses. They're like known. So I realized that I was one because I was describing certain when I was single certain situations, and she's like, "Girl, you a pillow princess."
Yeah, I think
was like, "Damn it!" So it's kind of when you kind of sit back and everything happens to you, like you're the one. You don't really have to move around a lot. You're kind of enjoying and not taking. You're receiving. And
but maybe not giving as much.
But not giving as much. I'm a giver too.
You're a great giver.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, so I get off. This is one thing that's come up. So both of us in our relationship are givers in a sense where I do love to receive, but I love giving orgasms. Like I get turned on by knowing my partner is turned on by me and excited even when, especially if, you know, he comes and even if I'm not there yet. And he has the same thing where he gets excited.
So we're both hedging.
Right. Yeah,
that's amazing. That's the perfect storm. That's what we all want.
But sometimes it fizzles out. We're both like we're waiting for each other. I'm like, come on. So we've been practicing this. One day, you know, it's destined that he will have an orgasm, and the next day it will be me. So per session, it's not necessarily pre-negotiated. We kind of go in, and I'm like, it's all for you.
Because sometimes if you hold off, you might miss out on the orgasm.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like disappearing orgasm. Yeah, exactly. You're like, God damn it, it was so close. It's like, ah.
Little puff of smoke comes out.
Right. Yeah. So he's taught me how to female ejaculate, though, which was, I knew how to do it with my toy. So with the magic wand, I learned how to ejaculate with that like buildup of like clenching the pelvic floor, which was really cool, but I'd never experienced it in with like fingers. Or just like with penetration.
Sex, yeah.
So that's been something.
How did
that's
you learn
really
people?
Cool.
Can you explain that process for people?
Bobby,
Bobby's profesh.
I don't know. I figured that out on my own. There was no. I didn't like look it up or
right.
research
no,
it. It was something
okay
that naturally kind of came but from. And I mean, you're just like anything else.
G-spot
I just,
stimulation.
You use
the G-spot.
You have a curvature
I have like
to your
a
fingers.
Curve and a scoop that I use with my
curve
fingers.
And scoop.
And it, you know.
He has to keep, you have to keep it lubricated
right.
because it does build up, right? So you get like a buildup of fluid and then it's like the release. Like it's almost like a sponge, right?
Yes.
Like the releasing. So, and I'm not like a gusher.
No,
I'm like
right.
a
or a squirter.
Yeah. It's like a very small amount of liquid that's
yeah, sometimes right. it's more than
sometimes it's more depending on how much fluid I drink.
So here's my question. So do you, when you squirt, do you have an orgasm?
So sometimes, so right. I feel like if there's a lot of clitoral in there as well, I can. It feels very pleasurable, but it's not like the same release as I get from a clitoral.
I feel the same.
Yeah.
So I mean, sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't.
It's intense and it's really fun. And I'll feel like a lot of, I don't know, kind of relief, like an orgasm, but it's not as... you know, after clitoral orgasm, you kind of like, it's so sensitive, you can't go back usually to like a lot of stimulation. Right. If I have a squirting episode, I can still get a lot of clitoral play right.
And then
squirt
have
and then
have an orgasm.
Yeah. Which is pretty cool that our bodies can do that.
I know, our bodies are amazing. We can't do women, that. You guys can't.
No, you're pretty worthless after an orgasm.
We can have like 600, we have so many orgasms. Dude, I mean, I keep going.
Many.
With magic wand, I probably had 24. Four was
in
that.
One day?
Yeah.
I did five and I thought that I told him too. He's like, what'd you do today? I was like, so I had one orgasm and then I wanted to see how many I could have and I had five, but maybe six because I had a half of one. And then I was like, what am I doing with my day?
It's our job. Like, how do you be a fan of that story thing? Now? Like, it's a good, yeah. Like, that's we actually, true. Like, it's content.
Yeah, it is content. And I was, but 24.
That's a lot. It was
now
a lot.
I'm kind of jealous.
No, but I think
24.
It was just, I don't know. I mean, it was a while ago. I'm not saying I couldn't do it again.
Was
but
like
it was time.
Day? Were there candles lit?
No,
was that like a whole...
it wasn't even a whole day. When I get going, I can get going. Like, I won't leave. Like, it was in San Francisco, it was probably like 6-7 years ago. And I was going to a friend's house. And I was like, I'm just going to knock one out with my magic wand. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to keep going. And it was like, I have these little tremors. It just keeps going. I was like, I think.
And then you're getting text messages. Emily, where are you? The party's almost over.
But
you
then
didn't
my
even
body
come.
Was so turned on. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God. And I remember trying to bring it in the car, like I was like, can't bring the magic wand because it was still plugged in the wall then. And I think I brought the Mimi in the car because I like my body was so turned on. I don't know what happened. I should try that again.
Then you probably showed up and they're like, you're glowing. Yeah, exactly. Did you just have a facial? And you're like, no, kind of.
Exactly.
Sorry, I had 24 orgasms.
But I would tell the good thing is my friends would know. They'd be like, cool, that's cool. I'm glad you're late.
When people ask me what your secret is, they're always like, what's your secret? You look like so young, or you look so glowing. I'm like, an orgasm a day keeps the doctor away.
It's true, right?
It's so
how
true.
Do you masturbate almost every day?
So, yes. And honestly, now that I'm not using to it, so I swore off porn. Remember, we had this conversation.
Yes.
And
she's doing the work.
I know. You have to do the work.
You do have to do the work. Well, I just want to make an effort to see what my body does. So I swore off porn like a little while ago because it was like I was traveling so much. I'd be watching porn.
Right.
And it wasn't like a problem. Like, I'm not addicted to it, but it would just be an easy way for me
You're
to access.
You're very private about your porn, though, too.
I am.
Like, she's so shameful.
We talked about it.
Like, why are you hiding that?
We did talk about it. He called me out. He was like, why are you hiding the porn? Like, why won't you watch it with me? I was like, oh, no, I can't. Like, it's like this very weird private thing that I have to do.
That's some childhood stuff, right?
It is.
Well, it's all childhood stuff. So now without porn,
so without porn, then I'm swearing off the vibrators. So now I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I guess I could go in and try to just like get off with my hand, but then I'm like, I'd rather just hook up with my partner,
right?
Just because
we had a great day yesterday.
We're learning. Yeah, we did.
What happened yesterday?
Oh, we had sex twice yesterday.
We did.
Really
we
good.
Had like
both was really
yeah, it was really fun.
Intense.
One was like a making love, and then we just like
last night was pretty aggressive.
Last night was aggressive and fun. He's like I love being dominated,
right?
And so he loves dominating. So because I'm more submissive in the bedroom, like I will be the dominator if I need to, but he definitely likes to dominate. And so he was doing like some choking, some slight choking, some
hot.
Hand over the mouth. It was hot. It was
that
hot.
Is
and
hot.
Then, yeah, it's consensual.
I was
no,
using
you guys, of course.
I wasn't being a pillow princess. As much I was working it,
yeah, you are.
So we had a lot of fun and we were like just connected. So it's fun to change.
And you're
it
on
up.
Vacation too, not vacation, but you're in a hotel room, right?
We're in a hotel room, and
that hotel's fun. It's got kind of a little gypsy carnival vibe.
Oh,
going
right,
on
I was just
there.
I was just to stay fun. There and hook up with you guys, but yeah. I'd say another hotel.
Not today.
But, no, not
That's
today.
That's a bummer.
I know.
Sad.
I know. Me too. Yeah. But wait, so the thing about the dumb. So how is it without the porn and the toys? Do you feel a difference?
The porn was actually kind of nice to get off of because it did make me access my spank bank. And what I've been doing, mindfully thinking about my partner in my masturbation spank bank, just so I feel like making the connection between him and like the things that really turn me on that happen while I'm masturbating, I bring that into this in the bedroom. And I feel like that also helps me orgasm. Not faster, but has like, you know, it helps
you
the
need,
orgasm.
Exactly. So you think when you guys are having sex, when you have the orgasm, you're thinking about him. Isn't it funny? Our minds, the role of fantasy.
Eddie.
I often talk about it a lot of times on the show about how having a healthy, robust fantasy life. It's part of having a healthy sex life. Yeah. And I think it's so confusing to people, or they feel guilt.
Shame
around fantasy. Totally. But well, like, it really is for women, brain large.
Well,
sex
we were talking
organ,
about
like,
the incest porn. You
well,
know,
I didn't
like,
want to bring it up.
Yeah, no, you.
Because I caught you.
It's fine.
I'm such a.
Is that brother? Brother fucker?
She's into incest porn.
It was. It's mostly it's weird stepdad daughter porn, which is. It's not like.
But then I
really
said, "Does that
related.
Have something to do with you being a stepmom right now?" You're like, "Whoa!"
I was like, "I didn't think about that." No.
Did you tell her about the taxi cab? The English taxi cab guy.
Yeah, she did.
I was having a hard time.
He was not. He was like, "What?" And I was twisted. Like, "It's all about like this weird, gross. He's like an overweight,
he's not even cute,
older
not
even man that's not even and it doesn't even have a face."
But that's why I love her, because she's twisted like
I am. Yeah. It's amazing what the mind can go.
I know, he's like, "Do you want me to throw on a British accent while I'm like..."
Maybe.
I guess you could, but you don't do
I'd
a very good one.
You guys are just scratching the surface here.
Yeah,
we're in half in. There's so much more. Yeah.
There is a lot.
I adore you guys. Yeah, I knew it.
Oh,
I love
good.
You guys as a couple. Yeah. It's amazing, really. I love this. I think that people could learn a lot from this, because it's like, you're never, we're in the industry, we have podcasts, but you're always still working on the next level. So I feel like no matter where you're at in your life,
it
would get boring. Even if you were every single night like choking her and having the rough sex, that would get boring in a month.
Yeah.
So like, if you cut, well, no, I'm just kidding. Okay, well, I wasn't there. It sounds hot.
It was hot.
2 months.
I think the whole, the from being in relationships, and this is probably the healthiest relationship I've ever had sexually, and just with the level of like information we give and receive and put out for each other. And I think like the key is just to continue to make sure you set aside time for each other to just process instead of going home after work or when the kids are in bed or whatever they're doing, or you're studying or, you know, depending on what your listeners are into, whatever they're doing. But take time with your partner and process and figure out what the needs are. If your needs are being met, there needs to be some shifts, and in the bedroom or without, but don't have those conversations in the bedroom, especially if they're sexually charged or
you have to keep talking about it. You guys have time to process. It's not, and this is, it's so great because people just don't, a lot of people don't even know how to have that first talk, but I would say it gets easier. The more you talk about it, then you're gonna be craving those talks, because you realize that's the sustenance. That's what's fueling
and
your
relationships aren't gonna be easy. They're not. I mean, people want easy relationships. I'm like, it's gonna end badly. You have to have those hard conversations. And of course,
non-monogamy, I mean, that's like you had already said, it's commonplace. I mean, we are all, you know, monogamy is a thing that was put onto us by society, correct?
It's marriage,
one of those things, marriage,
ownership,
and this, and this is who,
agriculture,
you know,
actually.
And when it comes down to communication, you can still have that partner for life and figure that out, yet still, you know, enhance the situation through communication and trust and feeling secure within your relationship, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's interesting. I was just thinking about this, because we've been talking about timing on the show. Like, how much do you think that timing matters? Because I feel like you guys both
it was all of it.
Like, maybe if you met 15 years ago, it wouldn't work, but you've both been in marriages, divorced, worked it through, and now you guys have these skills.
She looked at me and thought I was a total meathead, you know?
Yeah.
I look like a meathead, but I'm a little deeper than
a
meathead.
Yeah. So, you've got to.
I had her astrological compatibility charts read too before I committed to I was like, I need to know the time you're born and the area you were born. And I like had this astrologer figure out if we were compatible. Cause I was like, I'm getting too old. Yeah. She was like, a green light. You know, you might have some rocky roads, but a lot to work out.
What's your sign?
I'm a Cancer, Scorpio rising, Taurus moon. Mm-hmm. He's double Libra, the Capricorn moon, I think.
Got it. Okay. So it just works.
It works, but my astrologer said if you would have met him 5 years ago, 5 months ago,
exactly,
it wouldn't have been the same thing. You both were aligned right then. So whatever, that might be wooey, like, and if you're not into astrology, timing is everything. Yeah. Because if he had three young girls, I would have been like,
no, she'd be out, peace out. Yeah. Right. It's a perfect time though. Mm-hmm. You guys, I love this. I love this whole union. Okay. I've got to ask you guys our 5 quickie questions. Sure. You're each going to go back and forth and answer. Okay. Okay. Bobby, what's your biggest turn on?
When she's turned on.
Oh,
that's
nice. Your biggest turn on, April.
When I get told that I have the best pussy ever. Oh.
Biggest,
or I'm going to fill her pussy up with cum.
I do like that.
She does like that.
Biggest turnoff, April?
When sex feels like a chore. Like you have to do it.
Right. Okay. Biggest turnoff?
Yeah, same thing. Forced.
Same.
Forced, like, or like pressure to have sex, like. Scheduled sex to me is a turnoff.
Yeah. That's right. It's not for everybody.
Yeah.
Clearly not for you guys. Yeah. If you had a celebrity hall pass, who would it be?
Ooh. Drake. fucking love him. Jewish, man of color, Canadian. I already declared that because I was in Miami. He was there. I was like, Bobby, Drake's in Miami. I'm just saying, I'm going out to a club tonight. If he's there, Bobby's like, okay, all right, all right.
I'd give her a pass for Drake.
Yeah, I'd probably get arrested by security before I could even get close.
We have a psycho.
Yeah. What about you?
Margot Robbie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Except when she was in that movie, Queen Elizabeth.
You know what? She was still hot.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Really?
I mean, hey.
Even with all the things, the smallpox scars?
Just saying.
Okay.
Makeup.
You know what? Just do her doggy style then.
So.
Okay.
Song at the top of your sex playlist.
Oh, the Juicy J song. It's so
Bands
good.
Bands and make her dance.
It's so hot.
This is your, also your stripper dance.
It's my stripper dance and also Frank Ocean, Lost. It's such a sexy
think of it
song.
Now. Okay, because I'm always trying to like suggest things, think of things.
It's a hot, that whole album, Orange, like put that on your
what
sex
is it?
Playlist. Orange, okay. Frank Ocean.
Okay,
he's it's amazing. You'll love it.
Yeah. All right, number one sex tip.
Bobby?
Communication. Number one sex. That's definitely right. First where you should start off always.
I say definitely the slower than slow, but a lot of people say that. I know you talk about that. I also say push outside of your typical boundary just a little bit. Try some new things. Like if you aren't super into giving a blowjob or super into cunnilingus, just try for a minute to check it out. You know, there's so many different additions that you can make it more pleasurable.
Like
you can add the flavored lube. You can,
so
you could
true.
Do.
Wait, the butthole. Happy like anniversary.
69.
Again,
oh, thank
but
you.
But no, it's so true that people, we often get those questions too. Like, I've never wanted to go down to my partner. I don't like blowjobs or she won't do it. Like, how do, and I was like, well, just try it. Like, try
just try
different.
It and get out of your head.
Yes,
get out of your head and just know
head.
Giving a partner pleasure is part of the process.
Out of your head and into the head.
There you go. Get into that head.
Okay, guys, you're awesome. Thank you so much for being here.
Do we get a role reversal and ask you 5 questions?
Ooh.
No, okay, I wish.
Damn it.
She's got
next
like
time.
A bunch of
so I
got
I gotta go do a live radio show
right,
shortly.
Okay.
Okay, you guys, check out Shameless Sex Podcast. It's awesome. I was just on a recent episode and they're doing great work. I love it. I love you both of you. And Bobby's great
Santa
partner.
Cruz Roots sure. And SantaCruzRoots, .com.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks for being here. It's so
you.
Fun.
Thank you.
All right, everyone. Thanks so much for listening to the show. Thank you to Ken, Samantha, Julia, intern Michelle, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.